The New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
Drake May is going to drop back and step up into the pocket to avoid the rush, but doesn't drop his eye.
His work ethic out of this world and, you know, studying the playbook and trying to get those reps, and he continues to get better each and every day. Drake gives us the best chance to win now and going forward.
So we're excited to get out there with the guys, help the team win.
Good morning, welcome in. WEEI Football Sunday. I'm Christian Arcand alongside Chris Scheim and Mego Ottolini. What's going on, everybody? How we doing? It's May Day. How you feeling?
Arcand, I could not be more excited today than I've ever been in my entire life.
I'm very nervous, Arcand. Like, just, I told Scheim before the show, I was like, Scheim, are you nervous for Drake? And he was like, not really. Like, kind of because of the rain. And I just said, I'm nervous for everybody in their first, in their debut. You know, Arcand, this is where I get Mama Bear. I'm like, oh, please just let him be okay. Please just don't let it be horrible to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of where we are right now. It's the first look as Drake May, the starter for your New England Patriots. This feels much like that win in week one. This feels like a very significant time for the New England Patriots organization. And that ended up not being much. I mean, we all sort of looked at that win. They beat him in their first game with Gerard Mayo and all these new people. And we looked at it and thought, wow, look at this. What a big day for this organization. Here we are a month later, a full month later, and it seems like we're having an entire factory reset on this entire season. And not just on the season, guys, but on the fate and future of what this team is and could be. And we're going to see it today with Drake May getting out there, making the start. Scheim, I want to start with you. No offense, Mego, but Scheim has been on the Drake May bandwagon since I think Drake May was in middle school. I think he's been scouting
basically,
him ever since
yeah.
then. And this has been a culmination, really, of all the excited and in front of everybody. I mean, really, you had this going from before the draft even started. When the team was still having a terrible season last year, you were on the Drake May hype train. This has to be a big day for you.
This is an insane day for me. It's like, remember when you were a young kid and it was like the week before Christmas and you couldn't help but be like antsy and excited, and it's just the Christmas spirit was filling you up? That's what I feel like today. All week, I have had a smile on my face. I have not been upset or depressed for a mere moment. It has been one of the greatest buildups of my life. I love this kid. I love Drake May. I have loved him before he was a Patriot. I'm wearing the jersey right now, just like I said I would. And I could not be more excited for him. I'm also thrilled for Patriots fans, because I truly believe with every ounce of my soul and being that this kid is a good football player. And so, going forward, I think today it may not look perfect. It may not be, you know, it is not going to be 300 yards and three touchdowns and some remarkable win. But I guarantee you he's going to go out there and he is going to make plays that you simply say, wow. And you're just impressed and excited about what comes next.
I think most of us are just so deprived of watching fun football.
Yeah.
that's kind of what a lot of people are just looking for from him in this game. Can you extend plays? Can you make it fun? Can you make it look like backyard football? Like, can you show us something other than this piece by piece meticulous mess that we've been watching on offense since week one? And I know that sounds like a super low bar, but I think that's where fans are at. They're like, give me anything.
100%.
Just give me something that's entertaining. It's not even about winning the game today. I'm sure for some fans and for the team it is, but sorry, that's unrealistic. I look at it as, is he going to show you something and bring some joy back into Sundays for Patriots fans?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it's about here. I think you guys are both dead on with your takes there. I'm excited about this. I'm also sort of wondering here. This is not a new thing in New England, this poor offense. We've been watching a poor offense in New England since after Mac Jones' rookie year, and there's questions as to how good that rookie year even really was. If you break down the numbers, they made the playoffs, and Mac was a Pro Bowler, air quotes there, obviously, but since then it's been bad. And I feel like a lot of the angst and sort of disgust that Patriots fans, after 20 years of Tom Brady and all the different, you know, offenses that he had, after all that, I feel like a lot's getting put on Drake May to not only turn around this offense, but to bring this team back to where it should be and bring this team back into the NFL pantheon of offenses here, where you don't have to feel like every single week it's going to be a trip to the dentist. And that's what it's been. I mean, really, for three seasons, watching this team try and put a drive together has been brutal. I mean, it's been unwatchable. And I don't say that as a spoiled Patriots fan. I say that as a fan of the NFL who's been watching the sport for 40 years. I mean, this has been about as tough as you can imagine. And that's, in large part, I think, due to the way that Bill Belichick left the team here. I think Mac Jones's play had a lot to do with it as well. But Mac Jones was a first-round pick. You know, he was a first-round pick that was brought in here, and after one decent year, it completely fell apart on him. And the offense, I think, has struggled to pick itself up and put itself back together ever since then. And now here it is, Drake May, all of the hopes and dreams and expectations of this fan base, fair or not, fall on him today against one of the best defenses in the NFL. And not just that, but a defense that last week completely shut down Josh Allen, who, as you both know, Mego and Chime, is the guy that we all hope Drake May turns into. So let's get to that. Let's sort of begin here with this matchup today. And I think that that's part of this whole narrative, is that the plan with Drake May has taken on so many different twists and turns. Some say it was never even a plan. It was just sort of flying by the seat of their pants. If this was the plan, starting him here against the Houston Texans, what do you guys think of that? Mega, what do you think of that plan?
So I'm in favor of it, first off. Like, I'm not just because I'm excited to see the kid and curious, and I hope that it's going to be more fun as somebody watching the game than it's been for the last couple weeks. But I looked at this back-to-back home games little stretch on the schedule before London, and I think even going back to week one and talking to you guys on air, I said that's kind of an area that I would circle for starting him, because you get him a couple weeks into the season, you give Jacoby Brissett a chance to make it his team and his offense, and they gave him that chance. Maybe it wasn't the best chance, but we saw enough of it that it makes sense to start him now. More importantly, as much as everybody thinks that the offensive line play is just gross, this is the first time that they're probably going to be able to have the same starting offensive line for back-to-back games. Mm. And again, I think I've said this a couple weeks now, I do think there's been some unfair disrespect to Vadarian Lowe. I think Vadarian Lowe really good last week. I think he was really good in week one.
Michael Jordan has also been low-key kind of good.
When he got thrown in there, Michael Jordan is good. That is this is the only time that that's a hot take.
Yeah.
To say that.
Yeah.
So I like the spot. I know it's against a brutal opponent. The weather's gross. I would have liked last week better, you know?
Okay, so that you would have preferred that to be the plan that if it was last week against Miami. Nice. I kind of would have too, yeah.
I think everybody would.
But they didn't do it last week. I would be much more upset if we were sitting here this week and he wasn't playing. So no, it's not a perfect start, but it's not really just about the starting date. It's about who he turns into for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think Keith has had a really good perspective on this. It's like, yeah, you're going up against a really good defense, but if he has a really good day, that's even more of a bonus for you going forward, right?
Yep.
Like, if he has a lot of success against a defense like Houston, who, by the way, everybody has been touting as, like, one of the best defenses in football this week, which I think is a little bit smoke and mirrors. They're not quite as good as people make them out to be,
They're
in
also
my opinion.
Really good when the quarterback gets concussed.
Yeah, exactly. That is also a big thing.
The quarterback get concussed, though? You know?
Well, even post-quarterback concussion, they allowed them to come back from down 20-3. So, sure. Like, you know, there's some give and take there. And, like, I look at this Houston Texans team. They haven't beaten anybody by, like, a good margin all season. They got blown out by the Vikings. They barely beat the Bears, I think, by 6. They beat the Jaguars on the final drive of the game with 12 seconds left by 4. They beat the Bills with a final second field goal, 23-20. And then week one, they beat the Colts by 2. Like, this is a team that doesn't blow anybody out. They kind of win in the margins, and it's because C.J. Stroud's really good, which is why I kind of think they're gettable today, especially if Drake May is good. If he comes out and he's great, like, they're gettable today.
Gettable? You think the Patriots could win today?
I think it could be a one possession game with 2 minutes on the clock, yes.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I think that's the kind of, this Houston team doesn't, they're like the Chiefs, right? They're not going to blow anybody out.
Yeah, don't lose to anybody.
Basically, well, I mean, they're
favorites
4-1,
for
right?
The Super Bowl.
But no.
Have an amazing quarterback.
In that they don't blow anybody out. It's just, it is close game. They kind of, their offense has been good, not great at times, especially without Nico Collins today.
Agree with this. Mego, I agree with what he's saying right now.
Right?
The Texans offense this year has not been that impressive. And their secondary's not that good either. It's really their front on defense that everyone's scared of. And offensively, they've been a bit of a disappointment. Unless you have Nico Collins in a fantasy league.
Correct.
The rest of that offense, with Mixon being out, Dell's taking a step back this year. Diggs has been good, not great. And Stroud, I mean, listen, I think he's a good quarterback, and he was awesome last year, but he's taken a step back so far this year.
He's made mistakes. Like last week, everybody was raving about how good he did, 322 yards and a couple touchdowns. I'm like,
he had a pick and a strip sack.
Yeah, exactly. He also turned the ball over twice and allowed the Bills to get back in that game. So, look, I think the Texans are a really good football team. And at the end of the season, they're going to be competing for a Super Bowl, and you're not. But I think on a day like today, the way they've been playing and the energy you get from inserting a good young rookie quarterback, look, I think they're gettable.
I hope you're right. I just think that you're so excited you might be leaving out. They haven't blown anybody out yet.
Sure, but like at the same time, I don't know.
Your offense has to stay on the field for that to even be in play whatsoever, and that's just something that with Jacoby Brissett, they couldn't do. They'd be 3-and-out. Or it just went, there was no chunk plays.
But that's the beauty of this. Like, it's not Jacoby Brissett.
The biggest chunk play that you had all season was a defensive pass interference. Like, that was the most that you could hope for. And so, hopefully, the change to Drake May, if anything else, keeps them on the field so that the defense can have a fighting chance of making some dramatic plays and actually putting pressure on C.J. Stroud. Because, as you know, like, the containment's been terrible with these quarterbacks. And aside from Gonzalez, and sometimes Dietrich Wise, there's not a lot of guys out there that are really wrecking it for the defense.
Yeah, I mean, Keon White's getting a lot of penalties and not caring about him, so there's that. But in terms of what the defense looks like in that game in particular last week, they were on the field so much that it's sort of hard to really judge the, you know, like you're on the field, you lose the time of possession battle that badly. That's something I worry about a little bit today. Ramondre Stevenson's not playing, and I know that Drake May is we're all hoping he's going to be airing it out here, but I think that even with May playing, the game plan coming into this was going to be hand it off to Ramondre Stevenson a lot, lean on the running game, pass when you need to.
Oh, so you mean the whole season's game plan?
I mean, basically, yeah, that's what it's been this entire time, and I don't think they're going to switch it up completely in the kid's first game. I think that's a little bit, but now they may have to. Now without Stevenson playing, they may have to. They've got a real problem there at running back now, and I think that that's going to be something where they have to turn to Drake May and say, hey, not only are you going to have to throw more than maybe we were expecting, we're going to have a bunch of design runs for you, too. We're going to have you out there moving around and trying to pick up the slack here for Ramondre Stevenson. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that's a bad thing. I really don't. I think Drake May out there running around and getting his feet under him, taking some shots, taking some hits. Like, everybody's worried about him getting sacked.
No.
I want to see him out there running into people. I want to see him out there picking up first downs and doing that sort of stuff, because I think that's a big part of the game here, that while we're all impressed by the arm strength and throwing on the run and all that other stuff, this is a mobile quarterback who runs and picks up first downs in a similar vein to any mobile quarterback you can think. Josh Allen, Daniels, the rest of these guys. I think that's what you're going to see a lot of today, and I'm here for it.
I couldn't agree more, Arcand. And three out of the four games the Texans have played this year, they've allowed over 40 yards rushing to quarterbacks.
Mm.
And the only two times they didn't was against Sam Darnold, where they got blown out and Sam Darnold doesn't run, and then against Trevor Lawrence in week four. Those are the only two times. Josh Allen, Caleb Williams, and Anthony Richardson all ran for over 40 yards against this defense. I legitimately believe that the read option will be a huge focal point of the offense today. It is going to be give the ball to Antonio Gibson, keep the ball with Drake May, quick passes, and take your shots when they present themselves. Like, that's kind of the offense. It seems vanilla, but in the way you can run it, it is a multiple attack, right? There's so many different levels you can attack the defense with an offense like this while still keeping it simple for a young rookie quarterback. And I think that's how you have success. You nailed it on the head. Like, this is, he gets after it in the running game, and this becomes a whole different ball game for the Patriots offense.
Yeah, I think it's important that I would love to see them just throw out an early quarterback keeper play.
Yeah.
To just 100%. To show the Texans that that's a real threat. The unpredictability that he'll be able to inject into the offense if they can set that tone early and say it's obviously not going to be Ramondre Stevenson, but it's not just going to be the running back or throw every time. I think to establish that early and for the first time look like an unpredictable offense in at least some way, early in the game is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think that this is going to be a fun, fun day here for Patriots fans, assuming everyone stays healthy and no one gets hit too hard. And listen, I mean, I'm part of the chorus of people that doesn't feel great about putting a rookie quarterback out there behind that offensive line. But I'm over it. At this point, I'm over it. I can't, you know, like you can't worry about this all season long. And I do think, and we'll get into this a little bit later on in the show here, there's two schools of thought when it comes to why Drake May hasn't played until now, week six. And I think one of them is what a lot of people say, which is this team's not good enough to support a rookie quarterback. Then there's the other school of thought, which is one that I feel like you get a little bit from Van Pelt, maybe a little bit from Elliott Wolf. You haven't got much of it from Jerod Mayo. But this idea that as good as Drake May is, and as much as you like his raw fundamentals there, he's maybe not quite ready, and that there's been all this talk about how little he played in college and how they're trying to bring him along, and there's parts of his game that aren't NFL ready yet, footwork, things like that, which I don't buy. I mean, I think that, you know, we saw him in the preseason. We saw him in garbage time against the Jets. He didn't look overwhelmed to me. It didn't look like the lights were too bright and that he couldn't function or anything. But they were very hesitant to go with him, and I don't think it was because they loved Jacoby Brissett so much. So we'll get into all of that. We'll get into the reasons why it took so long to see Drake May and what we're expecting from him. We'll get to the emotional roller coaster. We'll also be talking with Fitzy, with Tommy Curran, Andy Hart, and we'll have Wiggy's Keys. It's all coming up here on WEEI Football Sunday. As a matter of fact, I believe we're going to be talking with Curran a little earlier today than usual, so we'll talk to him at 10:30. That's coming up next. Fitzy at quarter of, and then how about we do the polar coaster at 11? Does that work? Or, Mego, do you have to go?
I think 11 should be fine.
All right, we'll do the polar coaster.
I like we're planning this on air.
Yeah, I know. We're doing it all right now. Live on the air. I just was told recently about the Curran switch. So, yeah, we'll talk with Tommy Curran coming up next. Don't go anywhere. First, here's Chris Scheim to tell you what's trending. We're back here. It's Football Sunday. It's May Day, Patriots fans. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in on what you expect from Drake May today, what you expect him to look like, what you expect the team to look like around him. We've been hearing reports at practice from Mayo and other people to make it sound like everybody's got a little bit of a hop in their step. It seems like this move to bring the kid in has energized a lot of people. Maybe not Jacoby Brissett so much, but other people, I'd say, are very excited for this. Seems like the team is on board. It seems like everybody's on board. And that's despite Brissett being a popular guy in that locker room. I think this was still generally a very positive move, and I think it's one that could have that kind of effect. The effect of, all right, this has been a bad season so far. We're 1-4. And I don't know. Do you guys still think the season is salvageable, by the way? Like, if Drake May comes in and plays really well, do you think we could really have a season here? Is this, could this be a Patriots season?
In what regard? Are you thinking like playoffs, like wild card, or
playoffs?
Maybe not playoffs, but in the playoff picture, you know,
yeah,
towards the end of the season, like a couple of games with some high stakes.
Yeah, look at your division. Your division is not very good at the moment because, I mean, the Bills have lost two in a row now. The Jets have been sputtering all season. They've already fired their head coach, and Miami is a train wreck. So theoretically, if Drake May was CJ Stroud and he comes out and lights it up, then yeah, you could be still having like a legitimate season. I don't necessarily expect that because I just don't think the roster is good enough. But I think you're going to win some football games here down the road.
I don't expect it either. I think it also has more to do with a lot of people on that staff learning on the job.
Absolutely.
And looking at the coaching staff. But you do look at the stretch of games coming up, and you got the Jags, the Jets, as we are watching, are imploding. Titans, Bears, like, these are not
winnable games.
The killers that you saw earlier in the season. So, yeah, there were, I do see some winnable games. Does it make them at least like fringy playoff candidates? I'm not ready to go there, but it definitely adds wins to the schedule if it looks anywhere near what we're expecting it to
look
like.
It feels like it could be a bit of that. Remember in Mac Jones' rookie year, that stretch of 8 or 9 games in the middle of the season where it was kind of cream puffy, where like you got the Titans without Derrick Henry, and you got the Browns without Nick Chubb, and you were able to just kind of roll over some bad teams? There's a stretch coming up here between Jacksonville, the Jets, the Titans, the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Colts. Those are 6 games that are absolutely winnable if Drake May is any good at all.
November could be a good month for you.
Yeah, very good month.
Looking forward to November.
Yeah, 100%. The idea that this move is something that could energize the locker room, that it could get performances from some guys that maybe you weren't seeing before, a team that gets sort of stagnant, a team that realizes, hey, no matter what we do out here, we just don't have the ability to win these games due to our quarterback play or whatever else, play calling, other things that sort of had this offense stuck in the mud. What kind of effect do you think this could have on the entire team, Mega?
So it's interesting being in that locker room this week. I think that you were right on the money, Arcan, when you said Jacoby was a popular guy. I think there was a split between what Jacoby was able to do on the field, especially the last two games, versus who he is with those guys in the locker room and them also watching him take an absolute beating week by week and some of the guys in the locker room knowing that that's partially their responsibility to protect him. So that all said, I do think that there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of enthusiasm behind Drake May in the locker room. From the offensive players that I've talked to, you know, without putting the guy before him down in any way, because Jacoby is well-liked, I think there's a sense of like, okay, now we've opened this other level. It's kind of a reset for the season.
Especially for those receivers. I think probably this is the biggest thing, is it's like those guys like Pop Douglas and Jalen Polk, who have yet to make a name for themselves, are kind of still relative unknowns
in
the NFL.
And guys like Kendrick Bourne, who want to get right back into it.
Yeah, and even a guy like Hunter Henry might be excited. He did get peppered that one game by Jacoby Brissett, but outside of that, he hasn't been targeted a ton. So this could be an opportunity for all of those guys to really kind of start racking it up and feel good about them and the offense. And I think that is an energy alone that could provide a spark for this team.
He's done
a good
job.
So
I feel like there's a renewed sense of energy throughout the team. And
yeah, I mean, listen, Mayo said that. You've heard other players say it. Hunter Henry on with the Jones and Keefe was all excited about it. Like, you could tell that there's a – and maybe it's just the idea of, hey, you know, we haven't been good so far, and this is the one card that we have left to play. Because really, what else do they have? They don't have any more wide receivers to bring in. They're not trading for Davante Adams. There's no tackles or anybody in this practice squad or floating around on the street that they could bring in and suddenly make the offensive line better. The one move that they had to go to, the one big improvement that they could make over the course of the season that wouldn't cause, you know, some big trade or something like that with draft capital to be used, is bringing in Drake May, and now it's finally happening. The question now is, and we'll ask Tommy Curran about this in a few minutes when we bring him on here, is the decision and how this decision got made, who stood up and said, hey, you know, now's the time, who was resisting, who said, I don't know, I don't think it's a good idea, we should stick with Brissett, because it seems like there was, internally anyway, a bit of a civil war even, like over when this should happen, if it should happen at all this season, and I think that eventually the May side won out, and I'm interested in how that process played out. I'm interested in what Gerard Mayo had to say. From all accounts, it seems like he's been higher on May all along, maybe than some of these other guys have. And for people like Van Pelt, who very publicly came out and said the best way for him to learn is to sit on the sideline and watch, he's now said he's on board with this. I don't believe him. I think that there's still a bit of tension there. Do you think that tension is going to manifest itself in any way this week?
I wouldn't think so, but I guess we could see it. I feel like Alex Van Pelt has had a set of plays devised specifically for Drake all along, and I'm excited to see what those are. I think it is earlier than he would have preferred Drake to be in, but I don't think there will be any tension. Like, I think as much as I think him and Wolf are kind of on one page and Mayo's been on a little bit of a different one, when it comes to game time, I think they'll all be together.
All right, well, joining us right now to discuss that and everything May Day related is your friend and mine from NBC Sports Boston. You'll hear him on the halftime show pre- and post-game as well. The great Tommy Curran joins us here on WEEI Football Sunday. Tommy, how you doing?
Good, Christian. What's going on? Hey, Chris.
Not too much. We're just here excited about May Day, about getting our first look at Drake May, the starter, instead of Drake May, the preseason player, or Drake May, the garbage time player against the New York Jets. What are we going to see today, Tommy, that's going to differentiate himself from those two guys I just mentioned?
I think you're going to see an offense more tailored to the things that he's well able to do. And I think that's what's going to be fascinating for all of us to watch in real time. You know, Albert Breer and Phil Perry have both done a good job this week kind of reporting out that there's been an effort by Alex Van Pelt to find the things that would draw out Drake May in a way that Jacoby Brissett cannot. And I think part of that is tied to the fact that, and part of the reason they wanted him to stay on ice for longer was he just hasn't operated in an Alex Van Pelt style offense that much. So there is an element of meeting him halfway where he's going to be in a little more shotgun. They're going to move the pocket. They'll get some RPOs involved. But I don't know how much of any of that, and today will be the day we start to collect a little bit of data on that. My concern, too, Christian, as you talk about it coming in to this hit, is I don't think Van Pelt is in a position where he's throwing trash cans and leaving rooms and whipping Sharpies around. I just think his preference would be, we want to take our time here to make sure he's completely ready to run the offense that we have and also the things that we don't have in for Jacoby. And the operating under center is my biggest concern because that's something he's not shown. He wasn't very great at. He wasn't great at it, put it that way, in the preseason and in training camp practices. A lot of bumbling with snaps. So that's a concern for today.
Tom, what do you, first of all, hi. Secondly,
hi.
What do you think a successful day would look like? Whether you want to cage that with stats or whether you want to say just overall takeaways, for Drake specifically, what looks like success?
I think that's a really good way to put it. And statistically, I would say, you know what, there's any number of things. I'd love to see him over 55% completions. If he's over 55%, if he's over 60%, that's good. I don't want to see any, no center quarterback exchange disasters. Okay. You know, you can have picks off of tip balls. You can have picks off of Hail Mary. So I don't care as much about the picks as much as I do what's the situation when they have them, and how can they do on third down? Are they over 40% on third down, which would be exceptional for the 2024 Patriots right now? So all of those things. There's going to be some bad plays, though, too, Mego. You know that. He's going to walk into some trouble. He's going to make a bad read. He's going to take a sack that he shouldn't. Just how well does he take care of the ball? All those things.
Tom, we talked about the energy that that could be ignited inside the receivers heading into this game. What do you kind of expect from guys like Jalen Polk and Pop Douglas here, who have been clearly frustrated with the way the offense has operated up to this point and want the football and really want to prove themselves here on the field?
Everybody's got to relax. You know what I mean? I totally feel how they must feel when they're seeing plays that are basically aborted 3-4 seconds in, when they feel like they're open and the ball's never coming out. I totally understand their level of frustration. But this is going to be a step back for the Patriots today, most likely, on some plays. There's still going to be plays where nothing happens for them. They're running their routes. But hopefully they can figure out some ways to get the guys the ball in space. You know, I talked to Kayshon Booty, who I think is he has significant upside for this team that continually is ignored. He's got unbelievable hands. He's a good route runner. He had a decent game last week, and I was talking to him briefly. I said, that was good. It was a good game for you. You know, they found you. He goes, I think next week's going to be even better. So I think there is an enthusiasm and excitement for seeing the new movie as opposed to the same old movie they've been seeing for 5 weeks.
Alex Van Pelt, Tom, said that the best way for May to learn and get better is to watch from the sideline. Obviously, they feel that that's not the case anymore as they're putting him in there. Through 5 weeks, what do you think he's picked up, and do you think he's learned enough to be able to go in there and run this offense?
Oh, I'm sure he can run it. How well can he run it is the question. And it's not going to be the same offense either, too, as we discussed and as you know, too. It's going to be tailored a little bit to him. I think he's probably learned, okay, why is Jacoby out now? Why do the Patriots, why do my bosses feel as if they've seen enough of him? And my guess is going to be that Jacoby did everything he could to carry out their plan to take care of the football to the point where he didn't get the ball out. So split the difference here. Be careful, as I asked him this week, May, about trying to be a playmaker but trying to be disciplined. He said he can't go hunting plays, but if the plays are there, go make them. If you have an alley, run. If you think you can make 15, 18, 22 on a scramble, go do it. And I think Jacoby was brought in with the express guidance to just don't monkey around with the ball. Just if you have to, take the sack. So how can Drake May do things differently? Hopefully he's learned that he needs to be a little bit more aggressive for a team that is probably anywhere between 28 and 32 in the league.
Tom, there's been a lot of outside speculation about what Ben McAdoo's role has been with the Patriots so far. Do you have any sense of, for lack of a better way to say it, his place in the hierarchy of the offensive coaching staff? Is he right under Van Pelt, or has he really just been kind of, you know, leashed to Drake May and his development? Do you have any sense of that?
I don't. And I wonder, is he sounding board? Is he overseer? Is he a guy who sits in a chair in the back and just nods his head? Do they ask him? Do they summon him for information? That, to me, is what would be really fascinating to find out. Is this just a way station for him before he goes to another place, a former head coach, former offensive coordinator? Does he want to be watching somebody else do the job? He's not an old fella. He certainly could still do it. So I'd be fascinated to know what the role is. Is he advising Mayo as a former head coach and saying, look, this is where the landmines are? And people sometimes roll their eyes about guys who have been fired and say, well, why do you want somebody who was fired to advise you? I'm like, I'd kind of want to hear from the guy who stepped on the landmine to say, look out, if you do this, it might not work that well for you. So I'm going to keep trying to flesh that out, Mego, and find out exactly what he's doing and in what capacity, because he is with the quarterbacks in the offense a great deal, or at least he was in training camp.
Tom, you talked earlier about how signs of success for Drake May. One of them for me is that they just have sustained drives and allows the defense to kind of, I don't know, get a bit of a rest. Jerod mm-hmm. Mayo has outright said that they've been fatigued at times because they're just on the field so much. If they do get sustained drives, how much better do you think we can see from this defense?
That's a great question. They're so in flux right now, Shine, with, you know, Pepper's out, obviously, and he's just, I've thought that he would probably be arguably their team MVP, certainly last year, maybe the previous two. He has been just a motivating, leadership-oriented, play-my-way kind of guy. So that loss hurts. That's far apart from the reason he's not out there. I'm just talking football level. Mm-hmm. Same with Duggar. We'll see what his usages too. Same with Bentley. It's just hard, I think. So I don't know necessarily how much they can flip, how radically they can flip because of the importance of the guys they've lost. But it'll be interesting, Shine, to watch guys like Marte Mapu, Del Pettis, who I think, you know, could be a good player for them. He's an undrafted safety or seventh round safety, Mego. Anyway.
I don't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither. I can't remember if he's seventh round or undrafted. I think he's undrafted. Those could be guys who are playing here for a while. Jalen Hawkins as well. So I don't know how drastically they can change. This team is without Nico Collins. It's got Joe Mixon back. Obviously, they have Diggs. It's going to be it could be a beatdown.
No Stevenson today. I think that's probably going to alter the way that they run the offense a little bit. Do we think we see May taking off and running more, maybe some designed runs for him? How much of that do you think is going to play into the game plan today?
I think they're going to try and take advantage of his foot speed and his athleticism. I'd rather, though, to see if you're not going to run the ball with Ramondre Stevenson, do what the Patriots in 2001 and 2002 did. Get the ball in the hands, short range, on wide receiver screens, on option routes, to guys like DeMario Douglas. And we haven't even really seen Jamichael Hasty. I mean, you have a water bug third down back. Use him. Use him out of the backfield in some way on screens, on checkdowns, on design stuff out of the backfield. He can play. I mean, I don't understand why this team has gone so drastically away from using conventional slot receivers and using third down backs when that was really the lifeblood of the way this team operated for 20 years and got a lot out of it.
DeMario right. Douglas still without a touchdown. Wait, can I ask one more thing?
Yes.
One more thing. And that would be, what is your prediction for the score, Tommy Kern?
Oh, today's football game?
Today's football game. The Patriots and the Texans.
27-14. The Texans triumph.
All right.
Boo, ruining May Day.
I know. Baby stepping.
All right. Well, I think that a lot of people agree that no matter what the outcome of the game is, even going forward here, it's really all about Drake May now and what he looks like and how he kind of progresses. So the season begins anew today. Tommy Kern, thanks so much. Great to talk with you, and we'll be looking forward to hearing you at halftime, pregame, and postgame today on NBC Sports Boston.
Very good. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, Hi, Tom. That is Tommy Curran here joining us on WEEI Football Sunday. We got Fitzy live from the tailgate coming up next. We have the emotional polar coaster with Megan Ottolini as well as Wiggy's Keys and Andy Hart still on the docket here. We'll have inactives for you in about 45 minutes. That's all coming up here on WEEI Football Sunday. That's the way it ended last week. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Christian Arcan here alongside Mego and Shime Time, and joining us right now live from the tailgate, your pal Fitzy, who you can hear on the Six Rings post-game show, also be on at halftime as well. And Fitzy, how's the vibe down there, man? Seems like a pretty big day here for this team and this franchise and this fan base.
Greetings to one and all in Patriots Nation on a happy May Day as I speak to you from a wealth of sizzling tips, hot wings, cold beverages, and joyful fans once again. Shime, you would be so in your element down here. There's May jerseys left and right, both the authentically purchased and the homemade. I'm talking like Sharpies on the back. Here's two dudes in white Drake May away jerseys right now. What's up, guys? Oh, they both have Jones on it. They didn't fix it. All right, anyway.
Awkward.
That got awkward. What's up, buddy? Let's go. All right, someone just told me to go after myself. Anyway, Pats fans are back, baby. It's a great scene. It's awesome. It's so funny how we went from that great scene on the second game against the Seahawks following that big win on the road against the Bengals, and then last week just felt like an absolute failgate down here, even though the weather was beautiful. Now it's 43 degrees, raining diagonally, and yet the Pats Nation, the fanimals down here of Foxborough, are undeterred.
Fitzy, do you have a sense, as the king of the fans, that this day will make or break in some way the fandom for Drake May? Like, do you think the bar is low enough that that fans will look at it and say, well, let's give him the rest of the season?
Sorry, Mego, someone who was doing a funnel just offered me a chicken tender, so I had to take a quick second. Well, a homemade chicken tendy. Could you repeat that one again, please?
Yeah, how much patience are fans going to have with Drake?
A ton. A ton. You know, these are good chicken tenders. So there was this couple that stopped me. I was walking around the RV lot for a little while saying hi to some old tailgating friends and, you know, people that repurpose old school buses and make them fan wagons and whatnot. And this one couple stopped me and they're like, I just don't want him to get hurt. That's the thing. I just, like, they were talking to me as if they were like, it was the first time they were letting their kid go out on a bicycle ride in the neighborhood by themselves. Like, all right, look both ways, sidewalk only, make sure you wear your helmet, watch out for him, he's very fragile. Like, they just had this protective nature and love. There's so much hope for this guy. And no one is down here saying, like, yeah, I'm so excited about him, I took all the props Shime told me to, I'm starting him in fantasy. Like, people understand, they just want two or three plays. You know, a couple signature scoots, Mego, maybe one or two throws they've never seen a Patriots quarterback make before. That's all they could ask for today.
So, Fitzy, you and I have done quite a few hours of radio on Drake Mania leading up to this game already. And so I'm curious, one of the questions I haven't asked you yet is, which receiver do you think is going to pop the most? Is it going to be Pop Douglas? Is it going to be Jalen Polk? Is it going to be Kendrick Bourne? Or is there somebody else lurking in the shadows waiting for Drake May to make his first pass and just going to blow us out of the water?
I think the popular thinking, if you will, is Douglas. I think everyone thinks that they're just going to immediately develop a bromance because he's open so often, and he'll find ways to, I don't know, I guess for lack of better phrasing, make schoolyard plays to get himself open and available for Drake May. I think you and I both would love to see Jalen Polk and Drake May establish something together. But it's too bad it's not going to be Baker, though, because, you know, I still sometimes, when I shut my eyes at night, see that 55-yarder that May effortlessly
that
flick towards him. And, oh, God, I wanted that. That would be
I'm
so
sweating.
This place. And that's not just from all the buffalo chicken dip you had for breakfast. If for some reason he's active and he gets involved in the game today, the first time, like we were talking about yesterday, the first time he uncorks a long one, and if he finds Booty or if he finds Baker or something, this place is going to go bonkers. But if you're looking for his his volume boo, if you will, I still think it's going to be Pop Douglas.
All right, Fitzy, you've been down there a lot. You're in the building. You're in King's Landing all the time. You hear the whispers. You know what's going on behind the scenes. What led to this? What led to this decision, and why was there so much resistance from different factions to play the kid?
Well, believe it or not, even though the people that are here, Arcand, are super excited to get their first glimpse at hope, at the future, at what they believe is going to bring them joy, relevance, or at least victories and points once again, there's still a faction of the fan base that doesn't want to see him out there because they think it's a decision that once again reeks of ownership. They think that this is some other long con or strange game that's at play, which is weird. I don't get it. Like, you got a third overall pick at quarterback. He's dynamic. He's exciting. He's affable. Put him in. No, don't do it, because I'm sure Kraft is pulling the strings. There's still a lot of people that are mad about that, Arcand. And the main reason why he was put in here is because you had fans booing last week when the team was winning the game 10-9. The secondary market, the tickets were going for $70. $60 was the get-in last week. The Crafts could not afford, this whole organization could not have 5 Mississippi, 6 Mississippi, 7 Mississippi Brissett out there once again for consecutive home games and then take that show to London next week. Not after the Mac Jones embarrassment in Hamburg last year. No way.
Fitzy, what are you expecting from the running game? I obviously, reminder, Stevenson's out. What do you want to see from Antonio Gibson, Jamichael Hasty, who we just really haven't seen very much of?
Funny, whenever Hasty's in the game, I'm like, oh, Mondre looks smaller because he wears 39, he's 38, the similar hair and everything else. Terrell Jennings is going to be the new Jonas Gray. 230, 4 tutties, and then we'll never hear from him again. I don't know. I think, what are you going to see? I think you're going to probably see. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the game plan today, Mego, is deploying Gibson, you know, a former receiver in college, really good hands. Moves very well in space. I wouldn't be surprised if to try and neutralize the aggressive pass rush that Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and the Texans bring, if they just try to run right at them. Like, move the pocket when May throws, throw some slip screens, maybe some bubbles as well, just to kind of keep those ends from just living in the backfield all day. And then when you have to, just, you know, use all 365 pounds of Mike Onwenu, student body right, pull him, go left, and make sure those guys can't feast on number 10 today.
All right, Fitzy. Is the energy going to be strong enough that they could disrupt Stroud today at all? Is it going to be? Are we going to get to that point? Like, is there any way that Drake May just throws a bomb right off the rip, we get a touchdown, the place just erupts, and it becomes mayhem for a guy like C.J. Stroud?
I like the you work in the mayhem, hey, and their shine.
I'm trying here, bud.
For us, baby. Oh, yeah, I think they can go loud over Stroud today for sure. Absolutely. I mean, the only problem is I think some of that din may be diminished by how freaking cold it is out here. I mean, it is ice cold out here. It's so crazy. Wasn't it 75 here yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 41 right now.
Yikes.
It's so New England. That's my only concern, that the fans may be, you know, sitting on their hands just to warm it up because they forgot to bring a pair of gloves or check the forecast or that the sound doesn't carry. But you're going to get, I would say for the majority of the rest of this season, you will get the best effort that you have gotten from Pats fans. They will be the loudest. They will be the most focused. This will be the most LFG that you'll possibly get out of the Foxborough Fanatics today, for sure.
All right, Fitzy, before we let you go, we need a score prediction and jersey watch. You just said you saw a lot of Drake May and former Mac Jones jerseys that got taped over. What else are you seeing, and what's the final score going to be?
Arcand, I did not have it on my Patriots fan Gillette Stadium bingo card that the first jersey I would see driving in today was a number 80 with an Olszewski on it.
Wow. Wow. How about that?
Okay.
Was it actually Gunnar Olszewski? Right?
Yeah, and I just saw, yes, it was, actually. It was him and the pickup truck and the fancy dog from Instagram. Right now, as I'm making my way into the stadium, I see my third the blue era 1990s Stone Cold 316 jerseys. I go, there's a lot of those in circulation out here. It's mostly Maywatch. The Gunner was a pleasant surprise. A lot of Bledsoes, a lot of Ben Coates. People want those blue jerseys back. So, you know, it's a throwback day today.
You know, it'd be nice if Drake May came out rocking a Steve Grogan neck roll just for fun. But by and large, good afternoon, sir. How are you? Go Pats. by and large, it's a May Day, and my prediction for a score, Texans 24, Patriots 20, and it is the best moral victory Monday we've had in a long time in Pats Nation.
All right, that's Fitzy. You can hear him on the Six Rings post-game show and podcast, and also you can check him out at halftime with Andy Hart. Fitzy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day. May Day is at hand.
See you,
all right, that is Nick Fitzy Stevens here joining us on WEEI Football Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get to Mego and the emotional roller coaster. Then she's got to get out of here, get down to Foxborough for May Day as well. That's all coming up here in the next hour, WEEI Football Sunday.